Thank you for tuning in to Matitis, a podcast from one disciple of Jesus to another. May God choose to use this to further his kingdom.
Watch out, brothers and sisters, so that there won't be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage each other daily, while it is still called today, so that none of you is hardened by sin's deception. This is something that I think about often, coming from where I did. I was raised in church, as I probably said before. Faith, the Christian life, those terms I was brought up in. And I tried to conform. I tried to make it real. I prayed the sinner's prayer many, many times, was baptized many times, did everything I could to try to make it real, but never convinced myself, never satisfied that it was sufficient, because I never really believed, right? I had never really understood. I was unconverted. I was unregenerate. And I thought that salvation was something that I could do on my own, that I could will, or that I could, some hoop that I could jump through in order to secure it, nail it down, and lock it in. And in time, God brought me to understand that it's not, right? He did a work in my heart, and he changed me. This passage still rings true for me as a warning. And the warning is legitimate. There are some people that will try to take passages in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6 is another one where it's oftentimes tried to be manipulated to say, if it were possible, but it's not, it's impossible, but if. And we have these hypothetical impossibility, possible situations being addressed. And while I'm not trying to get into that today, the thought that I have does come from what I just read in Hebrews chapter 3. It's verses 12 and 13. And the warning is to be on our guard as believers, that we're to watch out, as it says, and not to let an evil, unbelieving heart that turns us away from God, don't let that foster. And it says that while today is now, today is what we have, not to let ourselves be hardened by sin's deception, or the deceitfulness of sin, as some translations would put it. And sin is very, very cunning. The pull for sin, even as a regenerate person, as a believer, I still have, and we all do, we still have this part of us, as Paul describes, the flesh that lusts against the spirit, and the spirit that lusts against the flesh, or wars against the flesh. And Paul says, therefore, because of this battle, we don't do the things that we want to do. And that want to do being the flesh, and then we don't do what we want, being the spirit winning out that battle. But there's still a pull, there's still a draw, there's still temptation as long as we're in this life, on this side of death, when we're still in this tent of a body that is fallen. Our hearts have been made new, but our bodies are still fallen. And so we wrestle with this world, the flesh, and the devil. There's these three areas that are in sync to constantly try to pull us away from God. And the author of Hebrews says that we're to watch out for ourselves, and we're also to watch out for our brothers and sisters, others in our church, to encourage them every day, understanding that they're under the same pressure, the undertow, that pull that we have to fight, they have to fight, and that we're to encourage each other so that we don't end up imitating the Israelites back in the wilderness, after they had been freed from slavery in Egypt, and they had seen the mighty hand of God, and they walked through the Red Sea on dry ground and turned around and watched God wipe out the Egyptians that were pursuing them. They were free. As soon as hardship came, as soon as a little bit of temptation or uncertainty came, the faith in God, that what he had just done, faded. And everything that seemed the most real to them was the flavor of the Egyptian food. That's what they wanted to go back to, because at least there we had this. All right, right now we're hungry. Back then we weren't hungry. They seem to forget the beating. They seem to forget the torture. They seem to forget the Egyptian order to murder their own children. But they remembered the food. And that's what happens to sin and temptation. It's deceitful and it promises us fulfillment. It promises us a more than equal trade-off. It tries to get our eyes off of Jesus. It tries to get our eyes off of the promises of God. It tries to get us to stop looking at the promises of God. It wants us to reach out, taste, and try that fruit once more of the forbidden tree. And so the author of Hebrews says, watch out. Be on your guard so that an unbelieving heart doesn't turn you away. And encourage each other while it's still called today. He goes on to say, for we have become participants in Christ if we hold firmly unto the end the reality that we had at the start. And while I'm not trying to get into fully the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, here we have an understanding that while God is sovereign, the God that sovereignly has ordained all that comes to pass has also sovereignly ordained the means through which those events would come to pass. And God has ordained what we call means of grace. The Word of God is a means of grace. The sacraments, baptism, the Lord's Supper is a means of grace. Fellowship within the body of believers, the church, is a means of grace. And here Hebrews, the author of Hebrews, draws on that as one of the means of grace that we are to avail ourselves to and employ for others. Is as believers, I'll read it again, but encourage each other daily while it's still called today, so that none of you is hardened by sin's deception. And these means of grace, they're not magic. It doesn't mean that if you just speak the scripture by default, good things happen. It doesn't mean that everybody you quote Romans 3:23 to is going to believe. It doesn't mean that by baptizing someone, that the sacrament in and of themselves, out of their own right, has life-altering capabilities. That by partaking of the Lord's Supper, that somehow saves you or has saving merit. Or that by baptizing someone, that has saving merit. That's not what we're talking about. The sacraments are a means of grace in which the Holy Spirit can choose to work through those in the hearts of his people. So when the word is spoken, the Holy Spirit can take that word and make it alive. The Holy Spirit can open the eyes and open the hearts of the hearers. And it's through that word that the sovereign God has chosen to do his sovereign work. It is through the sacraments as means of grace that God has chosen to work and strengthen his people. It's through fellowship with his people, through the church, that God has chosen to work and encourage people. It's not that God is bound to those because he can do no other. It's because God has chosen to work in these means. He has sovereignly, of his own right and will and decision, chosen to work through these. So the author of Hebrews is telling us, in a warning, inspired by the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, this warning is used by God to keep us. Because the perseverance of the saints can be summarized in God working in me both to will and do of his good pleasure. And that the God who has saved me is able, far more than able, to keep me from falling. And that it is through these words that the Holy Spirit works in the hearts of his people and encourages us to continue to not be drawn away by the food and the pleasures and the treasures and the enjoyments that we had in Egypt. Not to look back at where we came from. Not to give way to the constant pull of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Whether it be to tell us life was better. Whether it be to tell us we're the odd man out. Whether it be to try to plant uncertainty in the goodness of God or the promises of God or the faithfulness of God. But we are to do, as Hebrews says, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the one who completes our faith, the one who our faith is rooted and grounded in. Jesus, the very Son of God, who when tempted in the wilderness by Satan in order to try to prove that he was in fact the chosen Messiah, the Son of God, that he was deity, to throw himself off the mountain so that angels would catch him, or to turn stones into bread, to do something tangible, which would in fact demonstrate a distrust in the word of the Father. Jesus chose to believe in the Father. Jesus chose to say, man will not live by simply bread. He doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Faith. Jesus modeled for us the life of faith. Faith in the promises of God. Faith in the goodness of God. He went to the cross in faith, knowing and trusting that the Father is good and that the Father would maintain his covenant. That as Isaiah prophesied, that through the stripes of the suffering servant, by his stripes, the people of God are healed. That's what the author of Hebrews is telling us to do. Look to Jesus. So when the pull of this world, when temptation and sin and wrong decisions try to promise us a better end, a more immediate end, a more pleasurable end, when they try to paint the promises of God in Christ in faded colors or completely blotted out, the author of Hebrews is telling us, don't fall prey to the deceitfulness, the lies of sin. Even if you think, oh, I can do this, this sin is okay, it's wrong, but I can ask God to forgive me and I can carry on because God is love and God is grace and God will forgive. Be careful about presuming upon the grace of God, because sin is so deceitful. And sin doesn't tell you at some point you could commit the sin and the desire to seek forgiveness is killed. Sin can tell you, oh, go ahead and enjoy me. You can always ask God to forgive you. But there's a hidden dagger behind its back, and it's waiting to plunge it. It's waiting to kill that desire for forgiveness. This is why we must watch out. This is why we must be careful and understand that we're in a fallen world, and that world still tries to pull at us. It still tries to regain control. And while we know that those who are truly born of God, they will fight the good fight. They will finish the course. Through the empowerment and the grace of the Holy Spirit in their hearts, working in them to will and do, they will persevere. And it's even in that perseverance that the they, which God willing is the you that are listening to this, the me, we will persevere. Through his Spirit, through his power, he keeps us and works in us. As he sanctifies us, as we become more like Christ in our journey, we want less and less to do with sin in this world. We want more and more to see things from Christ's perspective. We want to act in a way that honors God. We want to act in a way that is full rest, independence, and trust on God's grace. Live our life by faith. We walk every day by faith that the promises of God are so much better than the promises of Egypt. As we're in the wilderness, we walk knowing that God has promised us something much better than what we've experienced in the past. So again, watch out, brothers and sisters, so that there won't be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage each other daily while it's called today, so that none of you is hardened by sin's deception. God be with you.